Brigadier in charge of the program is off the wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined today by Kyle, who is on a train with me.
Yes, I am.
We are both traveling. And I know before anybody starts rolling their eyes and saying that we're playing a tape that we've had lying around for a year or two and it's going to get really confusing. No, this is not going to get confusing, folks, because this just happened. This happened actually this previous Sunday, 2 days ago. Yeah, only 2 days ago. And we probably are still on a train by the time you hear this on Tuesday night. I can prove it. It's Sunday, March 20th, 2016. Yeah, so I know the date. So you know that this is not something that took place in 2015 or 2014 because we just said it's 2016.
Wait, you could easily lie.
Yeah, I could lie. You're right.
Fine. No, but this is what you have to do. You have to do the soccer scores.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah, we've been following the Europa League, as some of you are painfully aware. And we haven't actually mentioned it in the last few weeks. First of all, we were pre-recorded for a bunch of those weeks, and we forgot last week. But I think when we last talked about it, we were following the team that you know how to pronounce better than me.
Michelin.
They were from Denmark, and they had the misfortune of being drawn against Manchester United, and didn't go so well.
But they played a great game.
They did. They played a really good game, especially the first game. They won the first game.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they had to go to Old Trafford, which is Manchester United's home stadium, and they lost. They were ahead, actually. They scored first, but then they really started falling behind, and Manchester United just went crazy on them. The score sounds worse than it actually was. It was a good game, but they lost. They're gone. So then Manchester United was the team we were following in the round of 32, and they were playing Liverpool, which is what they call a derby. A derby in football, in soccer, is when two teams, either of the same city or very close cities, have a rivalry, and whenever they play each other, it's called a derby. And Manchester and Liverpool are pretty close to each other, but it's really funny, because when we went there, they have totally different accents, different ways of thinking about things in the world, and they really hate each other a lot, and Manchester and Liverpool, they'd never, you might have heard this a few times if you watched the game, they say this is the first time they've met in Europe. And what that means is the first time they've met in a European competition, such as Champions League or Europa League. Whenever they played before, it was domestically for the FA Cup or a league, whatever. Anyway, so they were drawn against each other, and we were rooting for Manchester United. So, of course, they lost, because whenever we root for a team, it's a kiss of death. Over the course of two games, home game and away game, where they add up the scores, Liverpool prevailed, and now they're moving on to the quarterfinals.
Oh.
If that doesn't prove we're on a train, I don't think anything will. That's the announcement for dinner reservations. Our dinner reservation is at 6:30, I believe.
Yeah.
That's when you travel cross-country on the train in the United States, you get dinner. It's not a question. It's not an option. You get dinner.
It's very important to keep track of it, though.
It is, yes. And they will come for you if you don't show up there. So anyway, Manchester United played Liverpool, and Liverpool won over two games, and now Liverpool is meeting Borussia Dortmund, a German team, which I believe we were passing through Dortmund once when they were in the German final or something, or the German League Cup. Anyway, so we will be rooting for Liverpool when they play Borussia Dortmund in the quarterfinals, so that probably means that Borussia Dortmund will win. But anyway, that brings us up to date, so now you know that we're just not making it up.
Yes.
All right, but here we are on the train, and as you can hear the train horn, that's real, that's happening. We decided, what we found out with shock and horror, that the caucus in Washington is taking place next Saturday, the 26th, I believe. You have to vote. You're a native of Washington, and it's important.
Yeah, it would make no sense for me to be this involved and concerned about everything political And having followed it in the build-up in 2015 and now the official campaign year, I mean, to miss my own caucus, I think, would be really foolhardy. And I want to participate. This is the fourth presidential election since I was about old enough, although the first I wasn't old enough. So it's the third that I can actually participate in.
That's pretty awesome. Now, did you caucus in all of them, or did you just vote in all of them?
I voted in the last three, and the first I was ineligible to vote. I didn't become of age until after that new year, so the election was in November 2000, and I didn't turn 18 until after that new year, so... It's the third I'm really participating in, and of course, every election is important, but every presidential election in the U.S. is very important, no matter where you fit in. And we travel a lot, we hear a lot about our system from people abroad and all over.
We get lectures.
Oh, yeah. People love to tell us about our country and what we're doing wrong or what we're not doing, and... I like to listen. I think we always listen. But it's important for me to be able to continue to listen in good conscience, mm-hmm. to participate myself, so that when I'm having discussions with people, I can say, well, you know what, I feel similarly, or I disagree, and this is the way I've positioned myself. And so... I don't like to have conversations about politics and then not participate, you know, come out and have it come out that, you know, oh yeah, I'm really principled, but I don't actually involve myself in the process. That's the contrary. I am quite involved and mildly principled.
Well, you know, I would like to be involved, but unfortunately, New York has what's known as a closed primary. Actually, I'm not sure if Washington has a closed primary. What that means is Democrats can vote in the Republican, Republicans can vote in the Democrat, and you can really kind of influence things that way. But in New York, I can't...
Hey, Glenn. Uh-oh. Hey, change this on you, but come on down, Glenn. And still waiting for Eddie.
Okay, well, that's neither of our names, so I don't think we have to do anything. But in New York, I'm not part of a party, so I don't get to participate.
Also, party of two. Come on down. I have a table for you. Party of two.
I would rather have...
Party of two.
I have a table for later.
David, party of two. Come on down.
Okay. I can't vote until the election. And by that time, it's kind of whittled down to Tweedledum and Tweedledorse.
Yeah, when it's the actual general
election.
Yeah, and I'm registered as a Democrat. I actually don't know why. I don't even remember when I registered as a Democrat. I don't even remember the indoctrination process or...
It might have been at birth. You know, sometimes your parents can register you at birth as a Democrat or Republican, and then it's up to you to change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kidding. People in other countries will believe that, and... well, you know, there's worse things that could happen, I suppose, but not that.
Well, they registered you... they can register you as a Christian, so, I mean, isn't that what baptism is all about?
Are you officially... I guess you are officially registered. That's a good point.
If you're baptized, that's pretty much, you know...
Or
you're in.
Yeah. Or if other things happen to you that there's no need to get into here, but...
yeah, those are other... Yeah, abduction's a whole different issue.
Yeah.
Extraterrestrial and
or having strange men come to the house and chop off bits of you is another thing that we don't need to get into on this particular show, but we will get into it at some point.
Eddie from the coaches. Glenn from the coaches.
Wow.
The coaches.
Yeah.
Let me explain. There's classes here, the class system. The coaches, those are the people that don't have sleepers. Those are the people that sit in chairs. We don't basically, I mean, you know, we know they're there, but we don't talk to them or acknowledge them. Well, we wouldn't pass them in the hallway because we use different hallways. We have sleepers, we have beds, we are treated better.
Oddly enough, though, they tend to be the majority of the people that actually sleep on the train.
Of course, but they're sleeping in their chairs. It's a lot less comfortable. Okay, we should tell people what we're doing, because that's kind of key to this whole thing. Kyle has to get back for the caucus, and we could have just booked a flight on a plane or something like that. But this is different. This is better. You know, so few people get that it's better to travel via land slowly.
It's possible. I think they don't think it's possible. And I was saying the other day when we were discussing sort of our reasoning and so on, it's marketing. We're taught to be in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
that our time is valuable, and all of this kind of stuff. And I think it's a huge push to get people moving very quickly and not really thinking as much. And I'm very deliberate. I mean, we're very deliberate with travel, and of course we could fly. But it's the awareness, I think, knowing that there are alternatives out there, because the marketing is so heavy towards flying and being places quickly and that kind of rapid movement versus kind of the lesser known path, which is rail, which mm-hmm. In other parts of the world is more or less the primary mode.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've had some cancellations.
Can we turn her off?
I could get Sabrina, party of three, and Holly, party of one. Also, Wendy, party of two.
Getting hit by these beams. Okay, we have 6:30 reservations. We don't want to come any earlier than that. In fact, we want to come later, but apparently it's filled up, so we can't. In any event, we decided that rail was the best way to go, just because, you know, it's cool to travel on land. Right now we're looking out over a farm field.
Another reason was security. I mean, let's just say it. They're really scrutinizing people at airports. They're putting them through all kinds of hell,
mm-hmm.
including these scanners and all this. You can't opt out of scanning. You have to...
Can't get the pat down if you want that.
Right.
Sometimes you can get it, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah, the point is the scrutiny, the
Cancel Sabrina, calling in Walter, party of one.
We should have recorded this at a better time.
Holly and Walter.
Just...
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's reservation might get a little messed up. We are full train once again. So, but I did have just some cancellations, so if I could get Holly... who I think got on in Naperville, and Walter, party of one, from the sleeper. Come on down.
Her social security number is such and such. All right. Yeah.
Well, it's very hard to keep a train of thought.
It really is. But can I just give kind of an outline as to what our plan was before she interrupts us again? We said, okay, we'd like to go to Seattle from New York. And we have a bunch of points, so, you know, we don't have to worry about spending money on this. You can accumulate points and just use them. We've done this before, and we've traveled from New York via Chicago to Seattle. It's basically two trains. But you can do it different ways. You can pick different trains as well in addition. And what we did was something that's pretty unusual. Most people don't even go for this who ride on trains. We went New York to D.C., hung out in D.C. for an hour or two, then got on a train from D.C. to Chicago, which we just left pretty recently, and we had about 6 hours to walk around Chicago, and that was awesome. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Okay, I had another two that
now.
Week, so I'm still waiting for Leo. Party of two, Leo.
Yeah, they're not coming. All right.
Holly and Walter.
Okay, Walter, get your ass down there.
Once again, Holly, Walter,
this doesn't happen on planes. All right, Chicago to Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's called the Chief, right?
The Southwest Chief.
Southwest.
Every train has a name.
So we're riding the Chief, right?
Right now we're on the Southwest Chief. First time I've ever been on this train, and first time you've ever been on this train. Although you think you recognize that woman making the announcement from one of the trains you took before.
She's familiar. I think I recognize her.
We're gonna find out.
Our attendant also noted that this is the on time train. Best one, he said.
That's basically just saying all the other trains are late.
Yeah, he's trying to like dig at them, but
yeah, in
we'll
fact,
see for ourselves.
The train that we take after this has a nickname. What is it? It's the name of the train is not the Superliner. What is it? It's right on the fold of this paper. Hold on. The Coast Starlight, and its nickname is the Coast Starlight. because a bunch of years ago it had a 2% on time record. I'm not getting that up. 2% on time. Now it's up to 86%, so they've gotten a lot better. We'll see. We'll see. So basically, we're taking this train all the way to Los Angeles, and then Los Angeles, another train up to Seattle. So four trains, 96 hours on trains, and more time in cities. You know, and most people don't get it. Most people think, yeah, it's all about the speed. And I like to say that it's about not so much the destination, but the journey. And I think that's true in life in general, that you know, we're too fixated on goals and not all the things that you learn and experience on the way to achieving or not achieving those goals. That's what's really important.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also, I think of it as like checking up on America. We get to see so much more scenery and not from 30,000 feet.
We're going through people's backyards. We see what they're up to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Empire Builder would go through North Dakota. That was when I was noticing a lot of the oil wells and stuff going on there.
What are we seeing right now? We're passing right now.
That's a tractor-trailer distribution center.
Yeah, it had a name on it, too. I think it passed by too fast for us to read it.
But it's in the middle of a heck of a lot of space.
Okay, let's cancel Holly. So it's Ben Leah. So Sabrina, party of three from the coaches. Sabrina, come on down.
I don't want to say anything, but the coach people really cause problems because they don't show up when they're supposed to. They cancel a lot, and you know, us in the sleepers, we have to change our schedules, and that's inconvenient.
We're not accustomed to that.
No, we're not.
But
yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah.
Oh, the American Legion post 31. Is that post 30? That's the only post 31 in the country for the American Legion.
It might be the state.
It seems like a low number.
Yeah, or they... Wow, yeah, is it either regionalized? I don't know how that works.
Well, we're going to find out. And
well, we can look
Pinkies,
up
a Pinkies ice cream place we just passed. I think we're in Illinois still. Sometimes, we're playing a game earlier in the other train as to what state are we in? That was when we were passing through Maryland, though we thought we were in Pennsylvania. So it's really cool to look outside and, see what people are up to and report on America.
Yeah, yeah. And part of that is so the knowledge of being able to make this kind of journey, but also checking in, seeing what's going on in the country, noticing the infrastructure, noticing changes, even just changes in the way that Amtrak's working from our other trips. As I was saying, the oil fields we went through in North Dakota on the Empire Builder route, a lot of that stuff's changing. They've had sort of a little bit of a downturn since the boom. Kewaunee.
We're passing. I assume it's in Illinois. Kewaunee, Illinois. And what kind of
medium-sized town?
Is that a helipad or something? I don't know what that is.
It does kind of look like a helipad.
Yeah, it's weird. It's in the back of a warehouse here. It's a bulldozer. There are people walking on the street. Someone walking a dog. A child running down the street. again, all things you don't see from up in the sky. So we basically yesterday left, Saturday. We left New York. Well, actually, we left Stony Brook on the LIRR. That was always fun. It's always fun to take trains to the city. It takes a long time. It takes two trains, but we made it. And then we hung around New York City for a couple of hours because if we had waited to the next train, it would have been too tight. And then we took a fast train down to D.C. You know, the fastest trains on the system go about 120 miles an hour, and it was kind of cool. And we had some time to spend in D.C. Not very much time, but enough to walk around a little bit. And then we got on, what's the train called from D.C. to Chicago? It's not the Empire Builder. No, that's the one that we're not taking right now. Hang on, I lost the... here it is. No, that's not it. I had that piece of paper just a moment ago. Wow, I lost it sitting down. Oh, there it is.
Capital Limited.
The Capital Limited.
That's right, because it's going from D.C., and we don't normally take that route because we go up to... there are two routes out of New York, and because we're in D.C., it's the Capital Limited.
Well, yeah, and also, you pointed this out to me on the map, where if you look at the way the train that goes directly to Chicago goes, it doesn't go straight to Chicago. It goes to upstate New York and then goes back down.
Way up and then rides the lake, both lakes, and then on in through, through like Indiana and coming across. They eventually sort of intersect and come in the same way via Gary. But prior to that, they meet up. And that meeting, the DC route, is much more lateral, goes across the country instead of up and around in like a big parabola.
Wow. You're just waiting to use that word, weren't you?
Yes.
So now, if you were to take a single train, New York, DC, Chicago, it would probably be a more direct route, but I don't think you can do that. You have to get off and get on a different train. And that second train that we got on, the Capital Limited, that's the name of it? Does that mean it's a Capital Unlimited?
Wait, the second train you're saying from New York to Chicago?
From DC to Chicago, the second train we got on.
Yeah, DC to Chicago is Capital Limited.
Yes.
And it's direct.
What I'm asking is there a DC Unlimited? Because there's a limit. I just wondered these names. It just seems kind of strange.
Oh, no. That's totally creative, sort of made up.
Okay.
I don't think it... I mean, Zephyr, I think it may have historical significance. I think we would want to maybe look up, like, what limited or unlimited would mean in the context of a train route historically.
And I'd like to know that.
We could glean what they are sort of referencing.
So Southwest Chief, there's no Southwest Squaw, I guess. Coast Starlight, there's no Coast Sunlight. Okay, so we're learning things about trains, about how they're named, how they work. Last night, taking the train from D.C. to Chicago was an overnight train, and we had what's known as a roomette. A roomette is... Well, we're in a small room now, okay? It's called a room. A roomette is an even smaller room. And, I don't know, I pictured trying to stay in a closet, literal closet, for an entire day, and that's pretty much what a roomette is, with a window. Except I had the upper bunk, and I didn't realize until I got up there, there's no window up there. And there's also no space to move around. Unless you opt to plummet off the off the side and hit the ground, there's really no place to go. So you just kind of have to stay put. And fortunately, I was really tired because I hadn't slept the night before. But it was very claustrophobic in a way. You're up there, surrounded by walls just feeling very enclosed. But, you know, I was able to sleep at least, and when I woke up, it was, it was complicated to basically gyrate myself into a position where I could come down and you know, just basically start the day. But we have bigger accommodations here on the Southwest Chief. We have a room, and...
Let me show you. Here, I'll show everyone listening. We even have, way over here, our own ladder.
Oh my God!
There's
a ladder.
There's a ladder right
Careful.
Here. No, it's. Let me just.
Oh, hit that table with the.
Sorry.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, let me just demonstrate for everyone. You just attach it.
And the ladder's on my foot, Kyle.
Now,
move it over a little bit. Thank you.
Yeah, and put it right here.
And you didn't see it there.
And then you climb up the stairs just like this.
Kyle, watch your head. You're about to hit the ceiling.
Ow! Oh.
Like you, it was inevitable that was going to happen.
Oh. I got. Okay. I guess.
You're very tall. You don't know that?
Just finish it. I showed him.
Okay. I don't like that bump on your head, and also you look a little dizzy there.
Okay. What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about how we're going cross-country on a train to get to Seattle via Los Angeles and Chicago and D.C. It's really cool because we're able to explore the country and get someplace at the same time. Now, we mentioned we're using points to do this, but you could also use good old American currency. And while it's kind of pricey, keep in mind, we're two people. I think it costs about $2,000 or so to do something like this. If you divide that by the number of nights, it's four nights, and you get food, as you can hear from the many announcements. There are dinner is a big thing on this train, and so is lunch, and so is breakfast. You get three meals a day. You get a place to stay. You can take two people. Divide that. I'm not going to do it for you. Divide it up and see how much you're actually spending for travel and for accommodations and for food and all that. It's not a bad deal. It really is not a bad deal, and I encourage people to... Now, I don't encourage too many people to do this because, you know, sold-out trains are no joke. We had a lot of trouble getting accommodations on the West Coast train.
Yeah, it was actually really important to talk to an attendant, talk to somebody, in other words, call them up. You can try to register this stuff online and do it... In sort of a high-tech, easy way, but it's really much better when you can talk to someone, explain what you're trying to do, and get a little bit of sort of their access to the system, because they can pull things up, they can see screens, they don't have, you know, things that time out or bad connectivity, stuff that invariably we run into whenever we try to book something.
Yes.
It just seems the odds are against us. In this case, talking to somebody really, really, really helped us. They knew exactly what we were getting at, and the one thing I will add to what you said, the points are really useful in that mental shift, because when you're spending money, you're trying to get the best deal. You don't want to spend, per se, but when you've got points, you're sort of incentivizing yourself to use them up, or take advantage of what the points you have, but there's a sense that you can't really use it anywhere else, so you might as well take advantage and, you know, go crazy, really spend what you've got, because there's really no other way you're going to spend it, and I think that attitude frees you. We're very open to making use of it as a resource, and had a lot more fun in coming up with what the adventure itself would be.
It's a lot simpler because with airline points, there's all sorts of ways to apply them, ways not to apply them, and getting GSM interference and there's no phone on. It must be somebody else's phone. You hear that? Sorry, folks, that's the noise of a GSM phone. Ours are not on, right? We definitely turned ours on. Yours is on, Kyle.
It's an airplane mode.
Airplane mode. Maybe airplane mode generates it, or maybe it's one of our neighbors. We're pretty close quarters.
That's not
doing. No. Maybe it's not us. It could be somebody else. Oh, look, wind turbines.
You know, that was something I noticed. I think we passed an ethanol plant down there, or at least it was siding for tank cars and it had grain silos, so I'm going to say ethanol, but I noticed a huge patch of windmills back there, and now there's two or three right here. But there were at least two dozen about a mile back. The Legion, whatever town that was that we just picked, Kenawa or whatever.
The American Legion post number 32, was it?
31, I think. 31. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Wow, you know, something also that's kind of cool about the Midwest. You see way out there the tower with the strobe.
Okay, Johnny Carter is now calling in Leah, party of two, Jeff, party of one, John, party of one, and Haley, party of one. Come on down.
I'm Jeff, party of one. Kyle, I used a fake name.
Why would you do that?
I wanted to eat by myself, okay?
So you booked me for two, and then I'm going to go without somebody. Then dining car is going to know
myself
that
then too.
I'm unattached. I have no friends.
It's dinner is an interesting thing here because you wind up sitting in the dining car. The table holds four people, and if you're one person, you wind up sitting with three strangers. If you're two people, you wind up sitting with two strangers. You always, always have conversations with people there, and I'm very antisocial. On planes, I don't say a word to the person next to me, but on a train, it's just you can't keep it in. You wind up just talking to people, asking them where they're heading, commenting on the scenery, commenting on life in general. And we met a woman from Indiana last night, and today we met another woman from Washington, actually, from Seattle. And talked about their travel plans and careers and family life. It's great.
Yeah, you really, that sort of conversation with a stranger, you really just you kind of throw inhibitions out and just reveal a little bit about yourself, like you would any other situation where you're breaking the ice and kind of getting to know somebody that you ordinarily wouldn't have talked to or associated with, which I think is a really kind of magical part about this experience. Because again, just as you're checking in with America and the scenery, you can talk to people who are doing all kinds of things.
Yes.
And they're smart people. They're people that take trains.
Mm-hmm.
And they're people that are interested in sharing a little bit. They often have unique experiences and perspectives. They're going to someplace interesting or are from someplace interesting. It's really a special way to interact, and people have a lot to say.
Yes.
They have a lot to say. There's a lot going on in this country, and it's a great way to kind of, you know, sense what's going on, sense what people are thinking about.
I'm going to ask you to move your phone away, because maybe it is causing this. Yeah, it stopped as soon as you did that. I don't know. I'm hearing GSM noise. Maybe you could turn that off completely. It doesn't turn off. Do our phones stay on now, and we can't even turn them off. That's one of the annoying... Okay, it's turning off. Kyle's phone is now off.
It does a countdown.
It does a countdown. Are you sure you want to turn me off?
3, 2, 1.
If we hear it again after that, then we know that we're surrounded by GSM signals, and we can't escape.
Or one of us is bugged.
Or one of us has an extra phone we don't know about.
Right. It was implanted somewhere.
So we had, and the other thing that's cool about this, when you're a sleeper, call ourselves a sleeper because that sounds kind of evil, but when you're a sleeper person, you're treated differently. You're treated.
I think a better way to say it is when you're of the sleeper class.
Okay, that does sound very nice and poetic. When you're of the sleeper class, you're treated like first class, actually. And it's, we were in the Acela Lounge in Penn Station in New York City yesterday, and I saw a businessman get turned away from that lounge saying, "I'm sorry, sir, you're only business class. We only allow first class in this lounge." It was just so amazing, because usually I travel coach, and business class is way above me. You wind up in a place where you can sit in the comfy chair. For some reason, we had a telephone where we sat down, a landline where I could call anywhere. That was nice. I think that was for our use.
Supplementary.
I certainly made use of it. You get snacks, you get coffee, you get soda, you get CNN on a television set if you want, or you can just take a little nap or something. And you get this pretty much in every city that that you go to. We went to Chicago today. We were able to leave our bags, and that was really cool.
That is actually one of the best features of the layover in Chicago. Ordinarily, you think train station, oh, I'm going to have to get a locker, I'm going to have to pay, put a bunch of quarters in, take a key, lose the key, I'm messed up, I can't get my train. No. When you're part of the club or the class here we're referring to, you get this amenity, and part of that is storing baggage. So you get a claim ticket. It's just like a coat check, but you can leave your bags. And it's great when you're in a city like Chicago,
uh-huh,
because you don't want to be encumbered. As much as we try to pack lightly, I am always mad at myself. Completely unjustified, but I get down on myself for bringing too much stuff. I hate having to carry all the big, heavy stuff and feeling encumbered, but it's part of the territory when you're living out of a bag or bringing, I think more of it, like 90% of it is electronics.
Yeah, we have a camera, power supplies, computers.
Power supplies and computers and various other wires and cables, and it just ends up weighing a lot.
And a reel-to-reel tape recorder, which I really think we're due for upgrading to something a little bit more, I don't want to say digital because that's scary, but maybe something a little bit more compact.
Yeah, but we bought that pallet of quarter-inch tape.
We did.
eBay had a great deal, and the shipping was free.
Yeah, and usually that's a good deal, but sometimes you find out why.
I don't know why they were selling that much tape.
Well, now there's no more tape to buy because we have it all. So anyway, we went to Chicago today. We arrived at about 8:15 in the morning. And that was a pleasant surprise, too, because I realized that 8:15 in the morning is actually 9:15 in the morning because of the time zone change. So we got enough sleep, and we're there at a really early time on a Sunday. And we just basically dropped our stuff off in the lounge, and we were free to just roam the streets. And at first, we kind of didn't know where we were, where to go, what to do. The city seemed really dead. Of course, it's 8 o'clock in the eight thirty in the morning on a Sunday. Of course, it's going to be dead.
Yeah, when you think about it, it is. You know, what does go on Sunday morning? You have the people that are there are going to be people who are ever present. People maybe who are down on their luck, maybe asking for money, these kinds of things, or street cleaners, people working in public works, sweeping up a little bit. Barely any shops open. I mean, downtown Chicago is just a ghost town, other than a few people doing very little at that hour. But we persevered, and I think you had the right idea, and this is something we often do on other trips. It's get familiar with the transit system. It empowers you, and I really felt that once we did it, it felt really good. And between you focusing on that, the ability to ambulate, to get around town, and me kind of thinking of a couple different places we could go, like funky neighborhoods I remembered and stuff like that, I think we put together a little bit of fun. I mean, for 6 hours, I didn't think we were going to have any kind of fun things to do for that much time. I had no idea how we were going to
pass. You forgot who
time.
You were with, because fun is my middle name. And
well,
wherever we go, we have fun. We find our own fun.
Usually when I'm in Chicago and I'm alone, I just lock myself in the Treasury Museum. It's like 4 blocks from the train station, and you have to go through metal detectors, and I feel safe there.
And that's where, what, they have money?
Yeah, well, you can go to the museum for free and look at the history of money, but
okay.
But I can't help but feel safe there because really nothing's going to go on there. No. It's a funny thing. I'm joking. I'm half joking. But, yeah, you can go to the Treasury Museum, entertain yourself there for a little bit. But really, you have this entire city to navigate. And it was a really beautiful day. It was one of those crisp, sort of like 30-degree days. Not really windy for Chicago at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they would say no wind. But it was a little blustery here.
Well, we had to hold on to our hats, literally.
Yeah. From time to time, if we were up on a platform and so on. But really clear, really sunny.
Mm-hmm.
9 in the morning. And we got a little lost at first trying to get up to the loop, which is a raised, looped rail platform. And has multiple lines on it. We can explain that a little bit. But it took us a bit to get up there, and we got bothered a little bit. We had to find a different entrance, and machines were kind of not cooperating with our payment methods. It was kind of a rough start.
Yeah, there's a guy standing right next to me asking for money while I'm doing this, which really annoyed me.
And he had, like, cash in his hand.
He did. I didn't even look at
it. Yeah, he had, like, cash in his hand, and he was asking you for money.
See, the New York way of dealing with that is just to kind of look away or pretend you don't even notice the person doing that. And it's just when you're actually in the middle of a transaction or somebody come up to you demanding money, he was very insistent. It's a bit annoying. But let me just expand on what you were saying about the loop, because the loop is an actual loop. It's a circle, or kind of like a square, that goes around. We have a visitor? Hang on, we have a visitor. Oh, it's the lady making the announcements.
I have a table for you if you guys are ready.
What time is it? 6:30 or so is when we're supposed to?
Yeah,
we
bump it up.
We
have a lot of cancellations. What time is it now? It is 20 to 6.
Yeah, 6:30 is really. Is there anything later than 6:30? Because we had a late lunch.
Okay.
Yeah, we just...
About 6:30
maybe somebody else is more deserving at the moment.
So not only is this woman bothering us with announcements, now, I told you, they come for you, and she came for us. And,
I don't know why I said maybe somebody else is more deserving.
Because maybe somebody else does deserve to have dinner at 6:30 at night.
Maybe somebody needs it more right now. They're really hungry now.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can't waste time thinking about what people might interpret our remarks as meaning. Anyway, to get back to the loop. The loop is basically a square. It's an elevated square of train lines.
Beautiful iron platform.
Yeah, it's not as high as an elevated line in New York City.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about half the height,
yeah.
But it goes around, and you can see it. You know, if you stand in the center, you can see it in all four directions looking down each street. Mm-hmm. Now, what's really interesting about this is that different lines come in different points. So you actually have a situation where subway trains, elevated subway trains, are crossing at 90-degree angles to other tracks. And if you're standing at a platform, you can look down to the next station, and you'll see a train crossing instead of coming at you. It's crossing at a pretty good clip, too. And then you'll see another train coming down towards you. Obviously, signals are very important in situations like that. Otherwise, they'll smack right into each other. But there's nothing like that in New York. It's a completely different system.
Yeah. No, that really kind of lays it out. You're absolutely right. And I noticed this time there...
let's just keep talking.
Anyway, I noticed they have towers at each of the corners. Uh-huh. I'm not sure if they're manned, but they have some kind of observation tower. And I imagine, in addition to some pretty complex switching that's automated, they have people keeping an eye on each one of those intersections at various points of the day.
I would hope so.
Especially in the kind of morning Monday rush or whatever. But it was really fascinating to see on a lazy Sunday. And yeah, we got right up on there. We were walking. The entrance was sort of in like the old meatpacking district, or sort of the West Loop.
There were a lot of meatpacking type places there.
It seemed like that, but a lot of it had been sort of renovated and changed from what I remember. And there seems to be a lot of interesting development. I know I've said this in past shows about my experiences in Chicago, but this did not disappoint. There's a lot of new development, new kind of attractions, I think, for kind of younger people who are, you know, working and living in the city there. So kind of exciting to see just a lot of young people doing just really kind of domestic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a lot of families and a lot of some of that energy that you get as opposed to like older sort of family or older sort of cloistered cities where you have, like, urbanites that are extremely gentrified. It's more of that, like, hipster kind of cross between it, that, of course, they have tastes, but they're not, you know, so full of themselves. I don't know even what you describe that as, but, you know, the kind of people that would open up, like, a specialty beer place, or, you know, a beer place with themes or something. You know, just like that kind of new web 2.0, I want to say tech culture or something, but it's not like that. It's more...
We don't know what these people do.
Yeah, more like hipster, but not. It's Chicago.
It seems very genuine. It does seem
yeah.
genuine. And I was saying to you, I made an observation where I was saying that the Chicago attire, in New York City, that attire is akin to an undercover cop.
Yeah.
It's basically a kind of a heavyset guy with a baseball cap.
Yeah.
And invariably, that's how undercover cops dress in New York. You realize this voice is the first voice we're going to hear tomorrow morning at, like, 5:30 or 6, because we'll be making announcements about breakfast, and God knows how many people will be canceling that. But, yeah, so we had fun wandering around in Chicago for the entire afternoon. In fact, we went to your old school. We went to Loyola.
Yeah, we did. We did. I wanted to go up to Rogers Park and the north side a little bit. We had ridden the Pink Line on the L and explored a little bit, and I looked at the map with you, and we agreed maybe try the Red Line and go up there. We did make a stop, though.
Yes.
In a neighborhood referred to as Belmont. It's a great stop to get off at, because we had seen just so much kind of vacant, like I said, a little bit of people kind of opening up their businesses, but the downtown, that whole area was just kind of waking up. It was a little too sleepy for us.
Mm-hmm.
So by going to Belmont, we were able to see a little bit more activity, some people doing different things.
It was really good. It was really good. I felt very comfortable at that point.
Ripe for a bit more people watching.
Yeah.
Wow, this looks like a power distribution facility they're setting up. I wonder if they're setting it up.
It's not something that's been there forever.
It's not there, but that's a massive power distribution facility. It's got all the poles and stuff that would hang insulators and transformers and stuff. But it's just the layout there with the metal. I'm curious if they're going to be building some sort of power plant or an array of more solar panels or something.
We saw a steel plant earlier today. What state was that? Was that Indiana?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a massive steel plant, and it looked like it'd been there since, like, the 1800s. But it was very active. It said U.S. Steel in the front. And, you know, as you say the word industry, that is the picture that shows up in your mind. And you had some really good observations about that, too, because... You were asking, how do you tell people like this it's time to go green? Because these people are going brown or black or whatever the color of soot is. And there's very little you can say to convince people that the entire method of doing things, their entire method of doing things is harmful and needs to be changed.
Next station stop coming up in just a few minutes will be Galesburg. Galesburg next, coming up in just a couple minutes.
Galesburg. Have you been to Galesburg before?
No.
Neither have I. And it'll be pleasant. It looks like a nice place. So people on their porches and driving. Yeah. But, you know, I thought that was a very good point, what you said there, because you're not going to see wind turbines and solar panels in a place like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking out loud, and it really does, you know, when we get in, especially now, it's prescient because of the politics, and you have petro companies, fossil fuel companies supporting campaigns and so on. And there's very much a push to sort of abandon these sources of energy. Now, for someone with a house, maybe you could switch to gas or you know, you replace your furnace when it's on the fritz with something that's a little bit more efficient. It's a little bit easier to do in a residential setting, but when you talk about coal politically, you think of it in residential terms. You don't think of the person that's making steel beams or rolled steel for a car, you don't think of them as a consumer of coal. But if you do a little research, and I mean, one thing that I think people do know about steel is it's very energy intensive. So when you're smelting, you need to keep a crucible of molten steel hot.
Are they passing the mic to each other? I've never heard two announcements so close together.
Little known fact, she's also a lounge singer.
You know, don't say that, or we might have a late night. Now, he said that this is not a smoke break. What does that mean exactly?
Okay, so on Amtrak, smoke breaks are designated. So on these long trips, if you're a smoker, you can let your attendant know that you would like to, you'd appreciate being notified, and they will tell you, they will announce the smoke breaks, and what those are, basically regular stops, but everyone who's interested can get off the train.
I see. Okay.
You don't necessarily have to be a smoker, but it is it's an allowance that they make at certain intervals for people who smoke.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much you can just let them know, hey, I'd like to get off during the smoke break. So whenever those are, they'll announce it and you can get off the train and do whatever it is.
I just like to stand on the platform and
stretch your legs. Yeah, I like doing that. I like just getting some outside air and, you know, taking a look at this big train that's traveling with you. That's, you know, this vessel taking you across country.
In European cities, you get women that come up to the train and sell things to the windows. Sometimes, you know, potatoes and live chickens and things. Well, maybe not in Western Europe, but when you go through Russia, anything goes, and you get all kinds of deals as you make stops, and better deals if the stops are longer. So we might see something like that. Now, you mentioned, you know, smoke breaks. We're talking about cigarettes here, people. But this train goes through Colorado, and I wonder what the smoke breaks are like there, and if certain things are offered by people coming up to the platform, or if, say, you happen to find something, you're allowed to imbibe in that yourself.
Or what if I call ahead?
Yeah, have somebody meet you at
the platform. Can I get delivery to the platform? What if we tweeted to a bunch of followers or something? There's some things you could do. I mean, what if you had this big powwow at some Amtrak station?
That's an interesting idea.
We could arrange it.
Okay, now calling in. Brianna, party of two from the sleeper.
We're basically getting the entire passenger list of this train from her. I've never heard anything like this. It's pretty incredible.
Something humorous I remember about this lady's voice, and I don't know if this is exactly it, but this is pretty much tracking with what I anticipated.
Uh-huh.
Like, I recall her. She seems familiar. I'm not sure if it's the same woman.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out if it's the same woman.
I will engage at some point, maybe ask if she's done the Empire Route or whatever, but it's really funny to me.
But wouldn't she have made all these announcements on the other train, too? Wouldn't you have remembered that? Or is this maybe a new thing she's picked up?
I can't remember what it was so funny about it, but I remember the time telling you that the announcements were just too funny because it was very gruff or, I don't know, just humorous to me.
Uh-huh.
So I think this is true to form. We're getting what I thought was coming our way.
What is coming our way, though? Is 2 days on this train, 2 nights on this train, and then a couple hours in Los Angeles. I can take you across Union Station and show you the prison that Kevin Mitnick was in. It's right across the street, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get on the Starlight or Starlight or whatever they call it, and take that up to Seattle, and that's one night, and we get to stay in a roomette again.
Mm-hmm.
And this time you can have the top bunk and see what it's like to sleep in a tin can. And then we get to Seattle and do various things there. And whenever it is that we come back, we're doing something different again. You want to tell the folks the surprise that we have on the way back?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure yet if this is it's all going to fall into place. But we were considering using the Canadian rail system to return east. But that's tentative at this point. We'll see. We'll see if that's something we can pull off.
Okay, yeah. We'll certainly try.
I'm sorry I didn't get to finish about Loyola and Rogers Park, but that's a very beautiful campus and really nice to go up to the water and
Well, it's right on Lake Michigan.
It is, yeah.
And Lake Michigan has waves.
It's on what's called Lakeshore Drive, mm-hmm. and it's a beautiful... beautiful part of town, and the campus is really nice. We were actually looking for WLUW, which is a community radio station that airs and is based at Loyola. I think they're managed by some other station or something. I don't really know what's going on, but they had been on campus. I guess they moved back to a new communications building. They had moved from downtown, which is a great place for a studio, up to the north side, to the Lakeshore campus. Well, turns out they're not on campus anymore, so we weren't able to visit WLUW.
But so they keep moving. It's kind of a familiar theme, because we're moving too at USB.
It's a lot of the community stations. WUSB is gearing up for a move. I know KAXP in Seattle just moved into a brand new million-gajillion-dollar facility at the Science Center.
Well, that won't be happening to us, I can guarantee that.
It's, you know, it is entirely possible. I'm going to hold out for that. And BAI is also going through some interesting changes, a bit of turmoil, and at least we're seeing some progress. I'd like to see more significant progress at WBAI, but it wouldn't be the same, I guess.
In the last minute that we have, I think we should mention that it's a radiothon period here at the radio station. Obviously, we can't take your phone calls because we're out here in Illinois, and actually, by the time you hear this, where will we be? We'll probably be in California or somewhere. I don't know, going up the coast. So we can't take your calls. But what we can do is have you call the next program, which is Finn's Revolution. The phone number is 631-632-6901. And please pledge whatever you can. In fact, pledge even more than that, because you enjoyed this show that we are not live in the studio for. And tell Finn that.
Yes, pledge with gusto. And thank you very much for listening to us. We're out here adventuring, and we're going to bring lots of stories back to you. And don't forget, you can also check out playlists, archives, and even donate through WUSB.fm.
Until next time, when we don't know where we'll be exactly, but we'll be somewhere interesting, this is Emmanuel.
And this is Kyle.
And for the entire staff of Off the Wall and WUSB and, dare I say, Amtrak, have a good night.
Bye.
That Duquesne whistle blowing, blow lights gonna sweep my world away. I'm gonna stop in Carbondale and keep on going. That Duquesne train gonna ride me night and day. You say I'm a gambler, you say I'm a pimp, but I ain't neither one. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, sound like he's on a model phone. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing like she'd never blown before. Blue light blinking, red light glowing, blowing like she's at my table door. You smiling through the fence at me, just like you've always smiled before. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing like she ain't gonna blow no more. You hear that Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing like the sky's gonna blow apart. You're the only thing alive that keeps me going. You're like a time bomb in my heart. I can hear a sweet voice suddenly calling, must be the mother of our Lord. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, blow like my woman's on board. listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing. Lord, like it's gonna blow my blues away. Yo, rascal, I know exactly where you're going. I'll leave you there myself at the break of day. I wake up every morning with that woman in my bed. Everybody telling me she's gone to my head. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing. Blow like it's gonna kill me, dude. That Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing through another nuclear town. The lights of my native land are glowing. I wonder if they'll know me next time round. I wonder if that old oak tree still stands. That old oak tree, the one we used to climb. Listen to that Duquesne whistle blowing, blowing like she's blowing right on time.